Spirit. So today my message is called the Spirit of Comfort. And so Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, part of the Beatitudes, it reads like this. It says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Oh, the blessedness of those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, today. Thank you for gathering us together. Thank you for the songs that we sang. Thank you for this church family, Lord, and just the ability to come, God, and to worship you freely, Lord God, with all of our hearts, all of our mind, all of our strength. God, every ounce of our being, just given to you. And so, Lord, we just thank you for this house, Lord. And we thank you for your scriptures, your word, God. Lord, would you build us up through them, God? Would you change us as a result of the hearing of your word? So to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach a prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. God, we thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. The literal translation of this is, happy are those who mourn. It seems like, what? That doesn't really make sense, right? It's so different than what the world tells us. It's so different than everything that goes around us. The philosophy of the world simply says, forget all of your troubles, right? Turn your back on them. Avoid pain and suffering at any cost, at all costs. But the scriptures tell us, Jesus' great words, blessed are those who mourn. In other words, be happy, those that are mourning. There's a parallel passage in the book of Luke, Luke 6, which actually says it in a little stronger way. And in Luke 6, 21, the second part says, blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. So he's bringing more colorful analysis in this way. You know, mourning is really, more than anything else, is an expression of care. Mourning is really the voice of our pain. It's the sorrow of a broken heart. Those who mourn are those who care deeply. They feel the weight of loss. They grieve. They grieve over sin. They grieve over all kinds of different things. This is what mourning is, an expression of care. I love that we just spoken. It's the voice of pain. And he says, blessed are those that mourn. He says, the second part, because they will be comforted. The word comfort here is the word parakaleo. It means to encourage. It means to strengthen. It means to exhort. Comfort in this passage actually is not passive. It's something very different. It's not just giving into the hurt or giving into the tragedy. It is being lifted up regardless of circumstances. And so when it talks about comfort in the scriptures, it's as if God takes us by the hands and lifts us up and brings us out of the circumstances that are around us. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Psalm 34:18, I think, says it in such a beautiful way. He said, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Just like that. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, when I think about this passage, and, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest, we're in a season as a church that we're mourning right now. Thursday, we took the family and we laid baby Anna to rest in the viewing and then the cremation. And yesterday we had the memorial service here at church. And we're not sugarcoating any of this. It's hard. It's difficult. I'm sure there's tons of questions. And you know, and I'm in first in line, you know, with all of these questions. But I go back to the scriptures, and the Lord tells me that it's a blessing for those who are mourning, that there is something that God has in store for people that are in pain, like you are, like I am, like many of us in our church body, and especially the Hakeem family are in this season. And so I got to dig deep into His Word and find these nuggets of truth that will sustain us in the midst of these types of seasons that we're under. And so I just thought to myself, well, what gets in the way? I mean, what gets in the way of the promises of Matthew chapter 5, verse 4? And I just have a few thoughts here, and I'll just share them with you. Number one, what gets in the way of this blessing for those that mourn? Number one, I think, is a defective sense of reality. A defective sense of reality. Church history is actually full of seasons of what we call false piety. In years past, to be religious was to be miserable. To have any kind of spirituality was, you know, meant with you brought a lot of misery into it as well. You know, in the dark ages, you know, people hit themselves, you know, self-flagellation, all kinds of different things, because to be spiritual was to be miserable. Now, we moved out of that space, and I think rightfully so. We moved out of that space, but today there becomes a different kind of false piety. And it's a violent aversion to the previous generations, whereas before there was an outward display of misery to show our spirituality, it is now replaced with an outward show of happiness and of brightness in this way. Have you heard someone approach somebody and say, "Hey, how you doing?" And we feel like we need to respond by saying, "Oh, everything's great, you know, but your marriage is falling apart, your job is falling apart, your kids are falling apart, you know," and now we walk into this modern piety or false piety where we just feel like as Christians, we just need to smile and we just need to say, "Everything's awesome, Pastor Sam. Thank you for asking." And then you go home and cry. You know what I mean? It's basically the dark ages, and we brought it back. It just looks a little different now. And so if it's false piety that's laid out here, it's this defective sense of reality. See, the idea of mourning is to be real. God cannot wipe away your tears if you don't cry. Do you guys understand? Right? God cannot wipe away your tears if you refuse to acknowledge your pain and that you actually cry in this way. It's so different. Right? Don't sugarcoat life. Don't sugarcoat things that happen around us. Just let it out, right? Be real. Don't hide your feelings, right? I can look back in my life, and I've missed out so many times on God's comfort in my life. I have. I missed out so many times on God's encouragement because I just wasn't real with God. I wasn't real with God. I wasn't real with other people. I just assumed that's because I'm the senior pastor that I need to have this front or this face of spirituality and maturity in these things. When deep inside I was hurting, I was in pain, I was angry. And because I wasn't real with those feelings that were going on inside of me, I missed out on God's comfort in this way. Right? Brothers and sisters, the idea of mourning is to be real. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to be angry at times. In fact, the Bible tells us clearly, be angry, but do not sin. And so there will be moments in our lives where we're going to feel very, very angry, but the apostle tells us, but don't let that anger turn into sin. Don't give the devil a foothold. Remember, that's what the passage tells us. And so there's appropriate times for us to express anger, to express our pain in this way. When I was told that baby Anna had died, I got a phone call. And, you know, obviously Sam and Fiona gave me a call. And I was actually driving somewhere. You know, I was in California. We're on our sabbatical. And I was driving somewhere. And, you know, after the shock of everything, and we started talking. And, you know, I mean, Sam's right in the back, so you'll remember this conversation. You know, and I turned to them on the phone. I says, hey, don't stop crying. I just relaying from my own experience. Don't cut short your mourning. You know, when you're in that moment and, you know, the tears are flowing, and I just told them, just let it go. Don't worry about anything, right? Don't try to curb your feelings during this time. Just be real, just be honest, and just let it grow, right? When you cry, don't try to stop your crying. Just let your tears just have its season in your life. And it was my way of just saying to them, it's okay to be real. It's okay to be honest. Just let it happen. Because that's what it means to be human. That's what it means for us to be real. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be angry. Here's a mental health tip, right, that's laid out. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to be okay. If you remember my old PA, Yiling, right, who's now in Singapore, she's telling me all the time, hey, Pastor Sam, how you doing? You know, and I would mumble something. And she knew whatever I was saying wasn't really the truthful thing that was inside my heart. And so she turned to me and she would say this, and she'd look at me with concern and say, P. Sam, it's okay not to be okay. And the first time I heard that, I was like, I have no idea what you mean by that. And I was serious. I don't know what you mean by that. I'm okay. And she would look at me and saying, P. Sam, it's okay not to be okay. I'm like, it's like you're speaking a foreign language to me, lady. And then after some time, I figured out what she was really trying to say. And I say the same things to us as a community that's mourning. It's okay not to be okay. It's part of the human condition. Right? Don't get a twisted sense, or what I say, a defective sense of reality. Right? It's painful. We're hurting. You know, it's not fun. It's not nice. Have a ton of questions, right? A ton of different ideas and different thoughts that go through my mind. You know, prone to wander, right? Prone to leave the God I love. And we get into this place. And so, I guess as a community, just be yourself. Be honest. Be real. And in that space, the God of comfort comes in the midst of his power and his presence. Remember, mourning is simply the expression of caring. Nothing else, nothing hidden, nothing more, nothing less. It's just an expression that we care. And we care a lot. And you should care a lot. And so the result of caring will be that we mourn. Don't short-circuit this in your life. Don't be, false piety, fake Christianity in this way and feel like you have to be good and strong for everyone. You don't have to. You don't have to. And if we can go through this as a whole community and be real together and honest, man, we'll come out the other end refined by His fire. You'll see such a marked difference in our lives. So what gets in the way of the blessedness of those who mourn? It's a defective sense of reality. Brothers and sisters, let's be real with each other. Let's be honest with each other. Right? It's okay not to be okay. The second thing that I feel like gets in the way, it's a defective sense of perspective. A defective sense of perspective. Having the right perspective is everything. It's everything. Think about this. When Goliath came against the Israelites, all the soldiers, they thought, oh my goodness, he's so big, we can never kill him. But David, this young teenager, looked at the same giant and he thought, he's so big, I can't miss. Right? Totally different perspective. Perspective is everything. There's a story of this little boy, and he was playing baseball. And he was, he had no one to play with, so he was playing by himself. And so he would throw the ball in the air, and he'd take a swing. And every time he did that, he would sit there and he said, I'm the greatest baseball hitter in the world. He'd throw the ball up in the air, and he'd whiff, and he'd miss. And then he'd pick up the ball, and then he'd do the same thing. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Throw up in the air, and he whiff, and he miss again. So he did it a third time. Picked the ball up in the air, and then he said this, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Throw it up, and he miss. And then it dawned on him, and he stopped and said, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. Some of you guys that don't know baseball, you have no idea what just happened. Ask someone who knows baseball, okay? All right? It's all about perspective, right? And we need to gain this perspective during this time. I remember years ago, we had a parenting seminar, and Lauren and Darlene Cunningham came and did this parenting seminar. It was amazing, and they would talk about different principles and these things, and I remember during this time, we had a bunch of kids running around, and some of them were like really, really rowdy, and I could see that, because, this is parenting seminar, and so parents are here, and then, some of the kids were being, babysat in the back, but then eventually they snuck out, and, all this craziness is happening, and you can see the look on parents' faces, oh my goodness, my kid is running around, my kid's acting crazy right now, in front of Darlene Cunningham, the guru, of parenting and Christian education, and I remember, I could remember just this, the fear in the parents' eyes. And then Darlene looked at these crazy, rambunctious kids, and this is all she says. She goes, the future leaders of tomorrow, right? The same craziness, the rambunctious spirit, are exactly what's needed for success in the world as adults. My daughter Hannah, I forgot, I'm not supposed to say kids' names. Any case, my daughter, okay? I'll get it better second service. So my daughter wanted me to buy her something. And I tell you, she's tenacious. She is like a boa constrictor, man. Once she's got something in her sights, she just squeezes and squeezes and squeezes. And so, she'll come and says, hey, Dad, Appa, can I have it? And I'll be like, no. And then two seconds, can I have it? Can we buy it? No. And then 5 seconds, can we buy it? No, right? And she just will not let up. It drives us crazy. And many of our kids are very similar in this way. And then one time she wanted to buy something, but it was like really expensive. And so she puts together this PowerPoint presentation. This is no joke, right? And so manipulative. I tell you, it was so manipulative. How do I know this? She took pictures of like Kobe Bryant, Magic Johnson, like all the guys that I really like, right? You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. And then she took sports quotes, you know, and mixed these pictures with these quotes. And you know, and then basically the end is, can I buy it? You know? And of course it worked, right? Of course it worked. But in childhood, what we call impetuous, stubborn, pig-headed, you know, all these things are actually the things that are needed for success in the adult world, right? We just call that leadership now. It's all about perspective. You got a crazy kid, leader for tomorrow, right? I'll tell you, it's all about perspective. The right perspective will change everything. Everything that's around us. You know, when we always encounter death, I don't know about you, but I always go back to my mother. You know, 17 years ago, who went home to be with the Lord. And probably many of you, very similar, right? There's triggers that happen, and these triggers trigger memories. And you know, I thought about my mom. In fact, I went back and, you know, started reading some things and, you know, some journals that she had. And just, I mean, so blessed, right? I'm still jet lagged, so I woke up at 2 a.m. this morning. And so I had a lot of time on my hands. So I went back and started just reading, you know, a lot of these things in preparation for this message. And it just dawned on me that, you know, when I was 11 years old, you know, my mom, she passed when she was 67. When I was 11 years old, my mom almost died. I mean, it was really, really close. She got really sick, and she almost died in the hospital. And then when I thought about that, you know, you realize, here's perspective. Wow, God actually gave us 30 more years with her. I mean, she could have died way back then when I was 11 years old. But the Lord had mercy on us and able to be with us for another 30 years. See, perspective changes everything. And the reality is, as children of God, right, we're to walk in this eternal perspective. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 and 18. This is what Paul says. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now think about it. You know, we get sick. Is that it? Someone dies. Is that it? No, it's not it. It's not over. We must look at life through the lens of eternity. If you don't have that lens, brothers and sisters, life will be very, very bitter. Hermann Hesse, the German-Swiss novelist, he said this. He says, that life is difficult, I've often bitterly realized. That life is difficult, I've often bitterly realized. Now, life is difficult. You know, again, let's not sugarcoat it. All right, but it doesn't have to be bitter. And the reality is, the only way that happens is we get a godly, eternal perspective. Right? Life can sometimes seem meaningless and become quite bitter if we don't have an eternal perspective. Right? Justice not shown on earth can drive us nuts. I mean, it can drive us crazy. I'm watching a Korean drama right now. And, you know, I've got a lot of time on my hands early in the morning. I don't know why. I'm just watching this. I just randomly just pick one on Netflix. You know, it's called Vincenzo. I don't know if you've seen this one. Right? I think it's an old one and stuff. It's kind of lame, but it's just all about this you know, injustice that's taking over and taking place. So I'm like really into it. I just want to see what happens at the end. But when we encounter injustice in this way, I mean, it could really drive us nuts. But the eternal perspective is justice will come. Justice will come. Right? We look not at what is seen, but what is unseen. Well, remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. Many years ago, and I've shared this many times with you before, so if you heard it before, well, please bear with me. But, you know, when my mom passed away, you know, I had this experience with the Lord, and I was actually fine with it. I don't want to get into all details, but even in the midst of all the stuff that God did, I still had this burning question. Why? Like, or more so, why did it need to happen like that? I know she's in heaven, you know, I'm cool with that, but why did it have to happen like that? You know, and what I felt was kind of an unfair, you know, way. But something happened to me. I was actually sitting in that seat right there, right next to where Matt's sitting. It was during EMP, morning prayer, and I just finished teaching, we finished praying, I was just having my own quiet time, and I was going through the book of Acts during that time, and I got to the story of Stephen, Acts 7 and 8, and as I started reading it, just kind of reading through this, and I just feel like the Holy Spirit saying, did you see that? You know, and I'm reading it, I'm like, no, it's okay. So I read it again. And the Holy Spirit said, did you see that? I said, no. So I just read it again. And finally, my eyes were opened up. And this is what I felt like the Lord saying to me. He said, Sam, when you were in that hospital room, you know, and, you know, your mom had pneumonia and, you know, she was wheezing and in and out of consciousness. And he says, that's what you saw with your natural eyes. Let me tell you what really happened, right, in the heavens. And I got this picture, and, you know, in Stephen, in the book of Acts, Stephen says something. As he's being stoned to death and being martyred, he cries out and he says, I see the Lord, right, standing at the right hand of God. And I, because, you know, I study the Bible. I understand, you know, all these things that are going on. And I recognize, actually, that statement is theologically incorrect. Especially Paul, the way he writes, and particularly the book of Ephesians. The whole book of Ephesians is built on a theology of rest. In other words, like, if you look at, we stand and fight, right? You know, and when we're finished with everything, we sit. We walk with Christ. And so, you know, there's a very famous commentary on the book of Ephesians, which is sit, stand, walk, or something to that effect. But that's the idea. And so, because now Jesus finished his work, so Jesus is seated. Very clear theologically, he's seated at the right hand of God. In other words, he's finished his work. It is done. When he stood on the cross and he said, Telestai, it is finished. It's all, whatever his duty on earth is done. And now Stephen sees and gets the glimpse of heaven and he sees Jesus standing. No, theologically incorrect. Jesus has finished his work, so he's seated at the right hand of God. But yet he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. You know, and basically what Jesus is doing, he stood there to welcome Stephen into heaven. And I recognized theologically what was happening in this passage. And I sat there and I just saw the Lord show me this picture. And he said, Sam, you saw your mom. You saw in the natural what was going on with your mom and the pneumonia when she passed, her last breath. And the Lord says, let me show you what happened in the spirit. Let me show you what happened in the heavens. You know, and when my mom, went to heaven, you know, in that moment, the Lord, I could see it so vividly in this vision. The Lord stood up from where he was and ran to go and embrace her and welcome her in to heaven. And I remember sitting there and I just wept and wept and wept. It's about perspective, right? We only have this limited perspective while we're here on earth. And when we're here on earth, it looks really, really, really messy. But there's another perspective. It's called the eternal perspective. It's God's perspective. It's the way God sees what's going on. It's actually the way that things really happen. And it's beautiful. And it's perfect in some way. It's like, I don't know if you've ever been to a store and saw like a really beautiful, beautiful like Afghan rug. I mean, just intricate in design. Whenever you look on the other side of that rug, it looks like a mess, man. Like all different, you know, colored strings and yarn. I mean, it just looks like a mess. That's what life is on this side of heaven. But you flip that carpet over, you get on the other side, it's this beautiful tapestry, this beautiful mosaic, this beautiful painting, and everything just makes sense. We're living on the messy side right now. Once we'll get to the other side and we'll see everything laid out just as it is, and it'll be perfect. This is why we need perspective. We walk by faith, not by sight. So going back to the text, Matthew 5:4, those are the things that get us away from that, but blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Again, remember the word comforted is parakaleo, to encourage, to strengthen, to console. This is where our beautiful theme comes into place. Come, Holy Spirit. John 14:16-17. And he says, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then Jesus says, I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper. The word helper is the word comforter. Comforted in Matthew, the parakaleo, in John 14:16, it's the word parakaletos. In other words, it's the one that's called right alongside. It's someone who's right next to you. Call to one's aid. It's the word we get actually the word intercessor from. Someone that prays on behalf of you. It's an advocate. Someone who pleads another cause before a judge. This is what the Lord does. And so he sends, right? He sends the comforter to us. He sends the parakletos, the advocate, the one who prays for us, who intercedes, even Jesus interceding on our behalf right now. But one that comes and stands right alongside. In fact, Jesus himself is actually the one that's inside and lives inside of you. The comforter, right? The one that brings us peace and well-being in this place. How does God bring blessing in the midst of our mourning? He sends to us his Spirit, our advocate and our comforter. Right? In our times of need, no one comes to our aid like the Holy Spirit does. The presence of God is never more richer than when his children go through times of difficulty. I've experienced this time and time again in my life. I mean, so many different times where I felt like it was so hopeless, in so much pain and so much mourning, and the only thing I can cling to is the Lord. And He sends His Spirit, His Comforter, into my heart. And He brings this peace that this world does not know. Brothers and sisters, in this season of mourning, I'm letting you know you have incredible access, more than you can ever imagine, to the Comforter, to our Advocate, to the One who stands right alongside of us. How does the Spirit do this? I believe He does this in two different ways. The first way is through His presence. We get to experience the presence of God. The presence of God is fullness of peace. His power is inlaid in that presence. His comfort, His grace, His strength is inlaid in that presence. I believe the second way He does that is through us, is actually through one another, that we become the comforters for others around us. That there's something about just you expressing your voice and just saying, you know what, I'm praying for you. That brings the comfort of the Spirit. I just come alongside and say, hey, you know, I'm standing with you on this matter. That's how God brings the comfort of the Spirit. It's His presence, but it's also His people. He uses people just like you and me, right, who can give our friends comfort and encouragement in times of sorrow. Amen? So let's close our eyes. It's okay not to be okay. Don't have a distorted sense of reality or a distorted sense of perspective. And in the midst of our pain, allow the Holy Spirit to bring what only He can bring, His presence, His peace into our lives. Come, Holy Spirit. As the worship team leads us in a song, I just want you just to simply just stay where you're at. Just open your heart and allow His peace, His grace, His love, His presence to come upon us. Is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. In the midst of our pain, get ready to receive His unending comfort.
Cease to work.
our feet and let's sing this together. But we also want to pray. If you are here and maybe you're going through a hard time and there's things going on in your life, you know, we don't need to know all the details, but you just want some prayer. And you don't have to come up, but we'll come to you, actually. As we sing this, can I just invite you just to lift your hand in the air? And the only thing is, you know, if you say, I want to receive some prayer. I would like someone to stand alongside of me. I'm going to pray with you today. We're going to be that, play that role of that comforter as the Spirit leads us. And so just as we sing, you know, just lift your arms and someone will come to you. Can we do that? Just close your eyes. Matt, why don't you lead us in worship? I'm so used to Nate. If you want some prayer, just lift your hand and we'll minister to you today. And if you see the hands around you, just come. Lay your hands and just stand alongside. Play the role of his emissary. Go ahead. Please continue to do that, but let's pray together. Lord, thank you that you are the God of all comfort. Lord, that you bless those, God, who mourn. You promise us comfort, God. You promise us the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, and comfort your people. Bring to us people, God, that are sons and daughters of encouragement, God. Even, Holy Spirit, as you stand alongside of us, bring others around us that will stand alongside of us as well. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'd watch over this house, God, in this season. Help us, God, to be honest. Help us to be real. Help us to be raw. And in that place, God, there is blessing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Why don't you hug someone next to you and say you're blessed. Have an awesome, awesome weekend. And we'll see you this week in prayer.